The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Citizens of Earth and all beings both extraterrestrial and interdimensional. My name is Danny Roth, and this is Who Won the Week, Sci-Fi Wire's podcast dedicated to the top stories from the week in geek. I am joined this week by my co-hosts, the Blurred Girl, Kara Mahorn, and Sci-Fi Wire's own editor-in-chief, Adam Swiderski. Guys, how was your week?
Hello. Happy 420, everyone.
Happy 420.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we sound a little...
I don't know what that means.
If we sound a little tired, yeah, I'm actually
I'm actually just tired.
Someone offered to sell me some death sticks on the way into work today. And
you said, dude, I already have them.
It was Ilan Slizbagano. That is that character's actual name, by the way, from Attack of the Clones, the character who offers Obi-Wan death sticks.
Yeah.
Ilan Slizbagano. I kid you not.
I believe you.
The golden age of Star Wars.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better than that.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I'll just be watching the multiverse segment from Doctor Strange on repeat all day today.
Oh.
That's my 420 celebration.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to be building a new console to hold all of my Blu-rays. And I'll hotbox a van. Yeah, there you go. I don't know. Yeah, I'll just smoke it at the end. I'll put a pipe at the end of it and just smoke it.
Did you guys ever see that skit on Saturday Night Live? Is Christian Slater was hosting, and he's in this store, and people keep coming in, and it's like all these like antiquities and everything, and he's like, "Well, this is an ancient, you know, African tribal, you know, statue." The blah blah blah. And they're like, wow, that's beautiful. He's like, yeah, and you put your weed in there.
Yes,
and like every item in the store is for storing weed. Anyway.
I think it's funny that Christian Slater is nothing like that at all. It's just like he's a very ordinary, like I build Legos with my son and watch movies. Yeah, he's a very like, he's an actor. You know what I mean? Like it turns out. He's just a good actor. But yeah, he's a very everyday
But this is a wholesome
dude.
Family podcast, so don't do drugs.
No, nope.
Just
there
actually,
you go. There
to
you
tie
go.
It back to
yeah,
science
I don't
fiction.
Do drugs at all. I just drink heavily.
Do you guys remember that commercial from the anti-drug commercial from the 80s? The drug dealer turns into a snake man? Do you ever see that? Yeah, it's these kids, and they're walking on the street, and there's this drug dealer. He's like, hey, I got your weed. And it keeps cutting back and forth from the kids to him. And every time it cuts back, he's slowly transforming into a snake man.
Oh my God!
Everyone should Google that because
is this part of the war on drugs?
That's
that
me.
Campaign?
That was me.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things where it's like it was supposed to make us all
say
scared.
No
but it's
to
like,
drugs.
Awesome! I'm gonna meet a snake man.
I just remember this is anyway. Your brain. This is your brain on drugs.
I was
any
snake
question?
Man one stuck with me.
I saw a GIF of Captain Lou Albano as Super Mario. Saying like, you know, don't do drugs because you go straight to hell before you die when you do drugs.
Before you die.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, I get it. Yeah, I get it. I get it. I guess certain drugs, I would say that's true. Not weed.
I don't know.
You're probably fine.
I will make no official endorsement of any illicit substances.
I'm a big fan of non-privatized prison systems wherein people that smoke or deal a little weed are in there. I'm against that. I don't really want that.
Well, sure.
So there you go. That's my wildly hot take is that there's a lot
hot.
Of people in jail that shouldn't be there. Anyway, a lot of actual things we're talking about this week that aren't my disgust with former presidents. There are some trailers that dropped, Deadpool trailer, Jurassic World 2 trailer. There's Superman is not technically, it's not actually his 80th birthday until May, but Action Comics 1000 came out, so we're going to go on a technicality, kind of count it. And Avengers is coming out next week, but we can talk about some things.
And we're still trying to figure out who's going to die.
Yeah, that is
the
topic.
They really have it on lock. Is that the whole thing?
It's everybody. Anyway, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in due course. But before we do that, we've been doing this thing for over 2 years now, where we talk about the things that we're personally into. I don't know. Should we keep doing it?
Let's just keep it up, man.
Okay, I guess so. I guess every week
it's
I'm going to throw it to you and be like,
Pirate Roberts thing from The Princess Bride. You know, I'll most likely kill you in the morning. Like, we'll most likely kill the sequence next week, and then we just never will.
Yeah. Anyway, what's winning your week this week, Karima?
I'm actually geeking out over a theft. And that's gonna sound crazy, right? But you guys got to talk about drugs. What? Okay, so basically a casino, this did not happen recently. This was announced at a convention about cybersecurity in London. There was apparently an unnamed Vegas casino that was hacked. And basically a bunch of high rollers' information was basically accessed through the thermometer in the fish tank in the lobby. And I'm not making this up.
I like it.
I just want it to be a movie, personally.
It is a movie. It's Ocean's 8. It's coming out in a couple months.
So basically, everybody, for those of you who don't know the Internet of Things, it's like internet-connected technology. So like Siri and Alexa that's like in your car, or, you know, smartwatches, toasters, fridges, all the things that can connect to another device and maybe order food for you or fix something else for you, or one device talking to another. The thermometer in the fish tank, basically in the lobby of this casino, was hooked up to one of these apps, one of these devices. And long story short, basically their cloud was for their server for this fish tank was not separated from, I guess, their financial information. So hackers, they have a great security system for the rest of the facility, but hackers were somehow able to find a weakness in this app and go into the app that controlled the thermometer to get access to the database. And then, you know, 123, Bob's your uncle, they are able to literally get the database and pull the information out back the same way they came through the same app up into the cloud.
So here's my question for you guys. Is the genie too far out of the bottle to ever change, or are we going to go back to paper at some point? Like, have you ever read P.I. by Brian Michael Bendis?
Yes. I know. I haven't finished it, but I know what you're
talking
about.
Comic, and it's basically set in the future where they're at one point, like, I can't remember what they call it. It's like the cloud burst or something like that, where like everybody's information that was available online became available to everyone. And because of that, society kind of gave up on this whole cloud thing and went back to more like centralized and paper and things like that. And it just seems like, because you say that, you know, you bring up this story. This very week, I got a letter from Delta that was like, hey, Delta.com, your information was compromised. And it's just happening constantly.
Well,
I feel like at a certain point, especially for really sensitive stuff, people are going to start to realize that there is no safe network. You know,
well,
at
I think
all,
the problem is that the problem is we're actually being hacked, and I think that we're going to be basically taken out by our toaster. People think it's going to be like some big thing, but it isn't. It's going to be the fact that we're too lazy to actually open the fridge and see that there's no more milk. We want an app or something to do that for us. So we're actually, I think, going to be taken out by lethargy.
But that's what I'm saying is at a certain point, you have to figure that at least some people are going to push back on that and be like, you know what? I'm not networking anything anymore, because it was the same thing with Battlestar Galactica. You know, like that was the premise of the new Battlestar Galactica.
There are people that do that to a degree now. My wife eschews a lot of technology. I mean, she's not like a Luddite, but you know, but I do think that happens in a way.
No, but I'm this close to going back to a paper planner.
I still use paper for that kind of stuff. Personally, it was never like, I hate technology. I just, you know, I'm an old fart and I like using the things that I use. But
I'm talking about this specific idea of network security, because everything is getting hacked, like everything, and there's no safeguard. So at a certain point, like especially for, you have to hope for sensitive information, wouldn't it, like the biggest, most secure thing is to not use networks anymore and to make it, you know,
I honestly don't know what's going to happen, but here's the thing that I think is sort of interestingly tied to that in a way. Did you see the BuzzFeed put out that video with fake Obama, and it was Jordan Peele doing the voice? You guys see that? So if you're listening, you had not seen that. It basically was Jordan Peele doing an impression of Obama. Pretty good impression of him. And this sort of almost completely beating the uncanny valley at this point video, where it looked like actual former President Obama was saying all of these things. And it's sort of revealed that we are hitting a point where this whole fake news issue we're running into is going to reach a point where, like, you could literally see a video of yourself saying shit you never said before.
Right. Oh, trust me. I have, like, years of experience as an editor, and I was saying that years ago. Like, how do you know that that's live footage? They're like, because it says it. I'm like, no, I see a title on the screen that says live. I don't know where that footage came from.
Yeah, you always just have to look for the little static. That was in the old movies and TV shows. It was like the loop. You can see the little static crinkle in the corner that shows you that it's not.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, right? Because there's that, and like it makes me think of one of my favorite movies, the original Dawn of the Dead, where the whole concept at the beginning of it is that in order to keep people watching the news in the middle of the zombie apocalypse is that they have a scrolling thing at the bottom saying where the safe houses are that you can go. And somebody turns it off because they're like, none of those places are safe anymore. They're all overrun at this point. And they're like, yeah, but if we turn it off, no one will watch. And I feel like the question becomes, is it either A, this thing that you're suggesting, Adam, wherein people are going to finally say, all right, no more of this and push back? Or is it that the temperature is being turned up so slowly that we lobsters are staying inside? Right. And I don't know. I wonder if it's going to take something like the end of classic film Escape from L.A., wherein there's these satellites.
Where you surf on a giant wave.
Yeah. But do you remember how that movie ends?
Oh, yeah.
Where there's like satellites that sort of make it so that no electricity can work anymore, and it throws the whole human race and back into the dark ages. I wonder if that is what it would take.
But it's funny that you say that because there's a lot of comics and a lot of fiction that are coming out playing with that same plot.
Yeah,
and we even talked to Jerry Duggan actually at C2E2 about this. His comic Analog is only supposed to be 5 or 6 years in the future, where basically the internet has been destroyed. Like somebody Natasha'd it and basically put everybody's information out there. And so it exists, but nobody uses it because it's not safe.
Right.
So everything is, all important documents are on paper, and couriers are like the thing because they have to get this paper
from one place to another. This is why it is that I continue to have my physical media. My wife can't complain that I don't have everything up in the cloud. Why do you still have all these Blu-rays? Well, you see, it's because I'm keeping us safe. You're welcome, wife. You're welcome.
Well, this story just gives me further reason as to why I don't want a fish tank.
That's the real lesson
that
to take
is the
from
lesson
this.
I
have a friend who has a fish tank and bought fish that she was told were okay for the fish tank, but they're too big for the fish tank and they're going to die there
and
now.
And they're
very
aggressive
and going to eat all the other fish.
My problem is I have networked fish. So like it's not even the tank. It's just the fish themselves are connected to the cloud.
I don't like the band Fish. There, I said it.
Oh, my God. So what are you geeking out about this week, Adam?
It's hard to say I'm really geeking out about it because I'm like, well, this is fun. But I started watching The Handmaid's Tale, which I had not yet watched season one. And, I'd read the book by Margaret Atwood. And I guess the first time around, it's just so hard. There's so much content out there. And
I know. I'm right there with you.
So I started watching season one, and it's really, really good. And it's hard to say I'm geeking out about it because it's so bleak and depressing.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm doing the same thing. I'm waiting until I have like a block of time.
Yeah, and it's just so easy to see. It just gets you thinking about how easy it would be to get from where we are now to where they are in that show. And that is not an uplifting path to go down mentally. Nope. So yeah, it's hard to say like I'm geeking out about it, but like it's just really well done. Elizabeth Moss is great. I can't remember the name of the actress, and I just call her Poussey all the time because I remember her.
That's
from
her character.
Orange is the New Black. Yeah. She's great. Like, it's just really well cast. Well, amazingly shot. Like, it's cinematically shot really well. And obviously an important story, given where we are in the world. I mean, I think it'd be an important story anytime, but it particularly resonates now.
Yeah, for sure. This makes me think, did you see that? The article, I think it came out yesterday, about South Korea and the gaming community there. Unbelievable that you can't even say that you agree with feminism at all or you get fired. And this is true of both men and women in this community. And they'll have these women come out and be like, oh, I didn't realize it was connected to this other feminist group. And so now I denounce it. And it's like, do you though? Or are you? Of course you don't. You're saying it in public because if you don't, you'll lose your livelihood and thereby your very life.
Right.
So it's really kind of crazy. It's like if Gamergate won. In this one place, it's like, what if Gamergate actually came out on top?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, to your point exactly, it's kind of scary. Sometimes you see things happening and you're like, how far away are we from a Handmaid's Tale situation?
Right.
Anyway, uplifting. Thanks for that.
Hey,
thanks,
my Friday.
Thanks for that one, Adam.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
What are you geeking out about?
Oh, damn it.
There you go. You got to do the thing. No, right, do it again.
You do it.
Do your thing. There you go.
Hey, Danny.
Yes, Adam.
What are you geeking out about this week?
Thank you for asking.
Sure.
What am I geeking out about? Is it unfair to say the thing that I kind of geeked out about this week was Stephen Amell getting roasted by Beyonce fans?
Oh.
I know that it was a lot, but the whole Walmart Batman thing really got me.
That's a great dig, but it's okay to not like Beyonce's music. There, I said it. I'm going to get destroyed by the Beehive.
You don't have a lot of followers on Twitter, I think you're safe. But I will say that I do not associate with that comment whatsoever.
Which I should point out, I really enjoy Beyonce's music. I just think it's okay not to.
I think that if there's a lesson to be learned, it's that you don't mess with the queen, Oliver. You get it? Because his character's name is Oliver Queen.
I see what you did there. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that was winning my week. Mostly what was winning my week is that I moved to an apartment that I actually like living in. That's not really nerdy.
Is it built on an Indian burial ground?
Gosh, I hope so. I do actually, our bed is set up now that there is these double closet doors at the foot of the bed. And I keep saying I expect every night to wake in the middle of the night and there's like light glowing.
Yeah, that's where the portal
slowly
is, right?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I keep thinking that that's going to happen all of the time. So yeah, all right. So there you go.
Honestly, as usual, I think the tweet was taken like out of context.
Oh yeah.
Excuse me.
No, I think he meant he was tired.
Not just that. He didn't realize the wrath of the Beehive for the Beehive.
No, he doesn't know.
He wasn't ready for that. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that and it's so funny because
I work on the internet, so I know the consequences of these actions.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I was like, oh my God, what I thought he said, because he has said some crazy insensitive stuff in the past.
I know what he's
I literally
done,
thought that that's what's happening, and I saw what it was. I'm like, this is not, the punishment doesn't fit the crime in this case.
Yeah.
That's the tagline for the internet. The punishment does not fit the crime, the internet.
There you go. He did it. Yeah, that was the tagline.
Yeah.
When they remake The Net, which should still star Sandra Bullock and Dennis Miller.
Yes.
That'll be the tagline. There you go. I'm glad that I could bring
that movie
back in.
And it'll all be about having a fish tank.
Yep.
There you go. See, we brought it all back around.
Good work.
Yeah.
We did it. Anyway, bye. Podcast over.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to talk about trailers? We can
sure.
do some trailers. That's some concrete business. Promote some movies by talking about trailers.
Well, one trailer that I was really, really excited about actually was Deadpool.
You were excited about it.
I did. I was. I was extremely excited. I was excited to see the new characters. Like, Terry Crews is finally a superhero. Yay!
Yeah, Bedlam. That's
and
pretty
somebody,
cool.
Somebody was like, are you sure it's not Bishop? I'm like, have you met me?
They just say, they say his name.
Yeah, they say his name. Yeah. They say the name, and then you see the character for all of them. And then Louis Tan, he liked my tweet that I talked about Chatterstar, so I'm very excited about that. But I just like the fact that I like this movie because it's sort of like the misfits of the X-Men.
I am so on board for Negasonic Teenage Warhead's new look. Oh my God.
She looks great.
She looks amazing and like fierce and ass-kicking and it's awesome. And yeah, so basically this trailer was like, let's meet the X-Force. And it introduced everybody specifically. Domino got some really great on-screen time.
Had some great hair.
Peter did well.
Did you see there were some tweets going out? I need a Peter action figure.
So here's the deal. I'm writing an article that talks about Peter in some degree. So here's some interesting facts. He has his own verified. Shout out Twitter anytime you want to give me that blue check. But he has a verified Twitter account.
Peter does.
The character.
The character.
They
stealth started a Twitter account for him before that trailer
and
came out.
And,
awesome.
And people found it. And he kind of talks about, like, he doesn't like when people use foul language, which is great.
Yeah.
Very, very quality stuff. And he likes bees. He likes to go to the Beehive. And it's very likely that his wife is cheating on him with her personal trainer.
Right.
But you know what? Keep looking out, man. Stay positive. I believe in you.
There you go.
What else do you like about the trailer? Anything else jump at you? I know what my favorite thing was.
Well, I mean, Cable looks amazing. And I like the fact that they're not going to lose that much from the first one. Because, you know, sometimes sophomore like movies, it's like, I don't know. This one really feels like, saw the trailer for The Equalizer. I was like, nah, I don't know if I'm going to like that as much as the first one. This, I feel like, okay, we're continuing. The snark is still there. The fun is still there. Yes. It looks like they put the same team back together to create it. So it's got that same feel. I'm excited about that.
The thing that's interesting about it is, like, honestly, there are times with the snark where it feels a bit much for me in the context of a trailer. But then there's like little subtle things going on that you didn't realize. Like someone put side by side, there's a shot from Blade 3 in which Ryan Reynolds cuts a bullet in half with a sword, with a katana. And that exact shot is duplicated when Deadpool cuts Cable's bullet in half in the trailer. And
But he doesn't. He fails to.
No, the first one he does. Okay. And it's the exact duplicate of that shot. And I was like, man, that is some deep cut, like, reference, and I'm glad someone caught it, because I never would have.
Willie
reference.
That was my favorite part. Yeah. That was my favorite part, where he said One-Eyed Willie, and I was like, One-Eyed Willie, because I am always returned to childhood whenever I hear any reference to the Goonies.
Yeah.
Well, there's also, he did the same thing in Wolverine also.
Oh, really?
Maybe
that shot was from Wolverine.
It's in both movies. That's what I'm saying.
Really?
This is his thing.
This is Ryan Reynolds' thing.
Don't bring up Blade Trinity.
The Ryan Reynolds, before they messed him up.
Okay, that's Wolverine. I'm sorry. I made a mistake.
No, it's fine.
It's horrible.
But it was just, it was the same thing. No. But then all of the little references between Marvel also and the DC thing that I've kind of already talked about, like when
you know what's gonna happen, but I have to say this real fast, I don't mean you're, the Blade Hive is gonna come after me for making that mistake.
Oh man, the Blade Hive. Goodbye.
All right, so Cameron, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, all I was saying was that there's all the little digs and references to DC and things like that. That was amazing. Like, I like the fact that they don't take themselves seriously. Like, one of the things that we were talking about with superhero fatigue or whatever, I love watching this movie because they make fun of all of the things that we talk about. It's like, they don't take it so seriously. Like, they even have stuff and digs and Easter eggs for the fanboys. Like, he'll say, remember the post-credit scene? Like, why are you still here?
Yeah.
This is not that kind of Marvel movie. Go home.
And although, I will say the one thing that is weird is that they are not in an era where Kevin Spacey can be replaced with Christopher Plummer, like, at the last minute.
T.J. Miller still there.
Yeah, and especially given the news that just came out about him, I assume this trailer's been in the works for a while, but they didn't put it out till this week, so the trailer could have been cut differently, and he's still pretty well featured, and it's like,
They can't take him out of the movie, though.
They could. Actually, they could. It's Deadpool. They could do whatever they want. Bad CGI of him, and
they could
have it. That would be the joke, you know. And I don't know. I mean, taking him out of the movie, whatever. But like, to have him as featured as prominently in the trailer as he was, it feels a little weird, a little like just icky.
You know what else felt icky? Okoye's comment about Starbucks at the end of the Black Panther trailer. Yes, I went there. But all I'm saying is, in terms of the trailer, I think that certain things were already cut and out the door.
Sure.
And I'm just thinking of what do they call it? Trafficking. The traffic that gets the scheduling stuff. I'm sure they have these lined up because they're just dropping. And it feels like every 20 minutes we're seeing another trailer, because how many Avengers? I just keep calling them re-edits. They're not trailers.
Right. It's like one different
Maybe they'll just kill him in the movie. They'll just film a scene where he's dead. That'd be kind
of
too much.
On top of the other, in case anyone hadn't heard, on top of the other stuff about T.J. Miller, which, you know, about sexual harassment and assault, he just recently called in a bomb threat.
Yeah, because a woman wasn't interested in him.
That's the thing. That was like last week or 2 weeks ago. So
he's a sick dude. I don't, you know, this is, all right, so this is like, if we're really going to talk about this,
let me just say
this one thing about it. This is the unfortunate reality, right, is that people hook their trailers to this, like, this train of mm-hmm. success that somebody has, and then even when there's something clearly wrong, something that needs to be dealt with, like, I don't know what's up with TJ Miller.
Oh, that kind of trailer.
I don't know this man. I don't know anything about him other than these things that are being reported on. But there are people that will want his career to keep going. And right. if there's something mentally incorrect with him, they don't want him to deal with it, because that would mean that their gravy train is no longer right. It's no longer there. And that's the thing that really gets me. That's the thing that really bugs me is that, like, there are people out there that only care about the money they'll make because of him. And that is, like, in my heart, I don't know if I would say I feel bad for TJ Miller, but, like, only knowing what I can see, it's the ugliness that I know is also there underneath, because that stuff is always there. Right. That actually troubles me.
Right.
Anyway.
Unlike Deadpool, who's ugly on the outside.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks for bringing it around. Yeah. Good work. There was another trailer for Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Do you think that this trailer was better? Did you think it was an improvement upon the stuff that we'd seen before?
Honestly, I was kind of annoyed because I felt like they gave away the whole movie.
Well, I think that's the interesting thing, is that the first trailers were showing, you know, the plot being, we're going to rescue the dinosaurs from this island that's exploding. And
you thought...
I thought that was giving away the whole movie, and then I was here, and then you would hear in the aftermath that, no, that's the first act. They're only showing you the first act of the film in this trailer.
Yeah, now I guess they're showing you act two.
Yeah. I think even act three. Honestly, I think we saw some act three in there as well.
Maybe.
That the whole Jeff Goldblum speech about Welcome to Jurassic World is from the end of the film.
I completely agree.
Interesting.
I think that's like, listen, now the dinosaurs are out there. There's nothing we can do to stop it. They're everywhere, you know, because they get rescued from the island and taken to all these different places or whatever. Welcome to Jurassic World. And that sets up the future of the franchise.
I'm not convinced. Maybe. It could be.
Yeah.
It's possible.
That's my theory anyway.
I mean, I liked this trailer more than I liked previous ones. It's just like they're doing another thing where, like, they're mutating them again. It's more of this, like, genetic editing. It's like every movie now.
But that's the thing that bothers me is this. It's the same, like, oh, and we've created a new genetic hybrid dinosaur that's really more deadly than the other one. It feels like the last movie.
Yeah, here's stuff from Jurassic World and here's stuff from Jurassic Park 2.
It felt almost like Rampage. Like, it was actually blue, but they injected blue with something.
And now blue is...
Rampaging, and there's going to be a flying... wolf, because of course the wolf flies.
You have to, yeah. So
yeah, where's that flying wolf?
Like, to me, there was a very, very clear setup for a sequel in Jurassic World. Whether I didn't like the movie that much, but they very clearly set up. They've been trying to develop these creatures for military purposes,
which is what I thought we were
jump
gonna
to that, right?
Yeah.
Jurassic War. There's your next movie. Boom. Done.
Jurassic War.
And that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is very good.
Brian Enck and I, another person in sci-fi, kind of came up with that. So, I mean, that like, I think that it feels like they're moving the story forward less than they should, almost, from the last movie, and so that it's not going to feel consequential enough. Almost, you know, it's like we're not seeing the next step of this. We're just seeing another edited dinosaur. Okay, great. What's the next phase of that? And I feel like, honestly, that's been a problem with Jurassic Park sequels from the beginning, is that they haven't figured out. It's like Alien, you know, in the Alien movies. You had Alien, where you had one alien. Then you had Aliens, which was multiple aliens. After that, it's just been another. It's been a variation on Alien again. You know, like Alien 3
idea they had after that was kind of low budge, but like Alien versus Predator, honestly, is the only other idea they ever came up with where I was like, that's kind of cool.
Well, but even Alien 3, it's like, you have one alien, but you're in a place where nobody has any guns and it's like really primitive because they're on this prison planet. Like, that's okay,
Alien
but it's still one alien.
Yeah, Alien 3 is like, and now she shaved her head.
Right.
Well, la-di-da.
But that's what it feels like with Jurassic Park and Jurassic World. It's like, okay, there were dinosaurs. Now there are dinosaurs. There's still dinosaurs. It's like, okay, what? What's the next
now,
step of
well,
that
now the
story?
Dinosaurs are in, like, the cities.
Yeah. Oh,
so, like, the second Jurassic Park movie, right? So we did that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'll say this. With the dinosaur coming into, like, the little girl's bed, like, that was pretty scary. Like, that was, a, like,
yeah,
kind of, like,
the
a good
scariest,
creepy moment.
Like, there's a monster under my bed kind of
yeah,
thing
I kind of like that. That was okay. But, like, you know, out of context, I'm viewing it, and yeah. I still just don't know
right,
what.
Right, that was a dream sequence?
Yeah, I still don't know what we're doing. It was a dream sequence. That was it. It was just a jump scare, and then all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, yeah.
I want a repeat of the scene from, is it Jurassic Park 3, where Sam Neill's on the plane and turns over and there's a pterodactyl and it's like, Alan! Because he's dreaming and it's yes. actually someone trying to wake him up. I want the talking dinosaur. There better be a talking dinosaur in this Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Oh yeah, you want it like Honeymooners, like
exactly.
like the dinosaurs TV show.
Like by the end of the movie, Blue is able to speak,
and its first words are not the mama.
Exactly,
nailed it.
Yeah,
all right.
Or like Pokemon, like how all of a sudden Pikachu just started talking, like just ruin everything for everybody.
That happens sometimes. Pikachu talks.
Not
sometimes.
Supposed to.
Pikachu says Pikachu.
No, in the end
Pikachu's
of the movie,
Pikachu's a word. It means love.
Wait, Pikachu says things other than Pikachu now?
Yes, in the end of the last Pikachu movie, the last Pikachu movie. Oh my god,
the last Pokemon movie.
The last Pokemon movie he did and freaked everybody
oh,
out.
Oh man, it my childhood like, is destroyed.
Exactly.
Yeah, your childhood.
Are you kidding? No, I was way old when Pokemon came out.
Yeah,
that was like my adult years, my 20s.
I was going.
My 20s
with
are
you.
Destroyed.
I was going
oh,
with
no.
you. What else happened?
I don't know. Oh. That trailer?
Nothing really. Like, I literally yawned.
You're
going to
edit that out.
Wow.
You're going to edit that, please. Okay.
No,
one
keep
more
it.
Time. One
keep
more time.
That part.
So, what else are we looking at this week? I'm excited about some of the news for some of the new films coming out.
Oh, I was going to say this was a big week because of Superman. We haven't talked about
we
Superman
talked,
yet.
Oh, right, because it's his birthday. Yeah,
almost.
Well, technically
really, May,
but
Action Comics 1000, hooray.
But you guys had like a party and everything, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, Sci-Fi had a little party on the floor for Superman's 80th birthday. There was rock candy. So
yeah,
it was
rock
kryptonite.
Candy kryptonite.
Exactly. And we all, I ate the red one, so I got evil for a while and then split into two and fought myself in a junkyard. And then I defeated my evil self and am now back to normal. So that's
so let
what,
me get this straight.
Yeah.
Sci-Fi had a birthday party for a fictional character that
sure.
fictionally turned 80, but it's not really his birthday.
It's
and there was food.
Everyone's commemorating this being the 80th anniversary of Superman this week, I think. So
no,
it's
I'm
like,
just putting this together because when
yeah,
my birthday
no.
comes around and I'm not 80 and I'm a real person.
Oh yeah, we don't
I
get squat for
food.
Our actual birthday.
Yeah, where's the party celebrating?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, my birthday's coming up pretty soon. What has Sci-Fi got planned for
and
me?
And instead of rock candy, they will have caramel.
Oh
snap. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. I tried to actually stop that from coming out of my mouth, which is why it sounded that way. But yeah, I couldn't stop it.
Nope. You did it. You did
so,
it.
There's been a bunch of different things. I've seen actually up on our site even a bunch of different interviews with
yes.
several different people who played Superman.
We yep. talked to all the Supermans.
Like I know I saw Brandon Ruth.
Yeah. All of them Supermans, I should say.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a couple Supermans we can't talk
yeah,
to.
Yeah, Christopher Reeve. If we were talking
Dean
to him.
Kane.
Dean Cain. Dean Cain, okay.
Tom Welling.
Nice.
You know,
I
all
forgot,
those Supermen.
It's so funny. I
all the Supermans.
Tom Welling.
Tom Welling said that him and Michael Rosenbaum want to come back and do like Smallville the later years. They want to come back and do more episodes.
That would be hilarious.
They should have a
but like for
a crossover
real, they actually
with the CW
come back.
Shows.
They it should would be kind of cool at this
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
And they
yeah,
should
yeah.
play multiple Earth Supermen. They should all be Supermen on different Earths.
They should totally do an episode where Tom Welling and Michael Rosenbaum from a different Earth show up and it's Superman and Lex
yeah.
Luthor. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
It would.
I would watch the hell out of that. And I'll tell you something. Smallville sucked. But they were great.
I'm sorry. Yeah. What?
Listen, here's what I'll say. The first three seasons of Smallville were pretty good off and on in places. And then in season four, it was Crouching Tiger, Hidden Witch. It was the weirdest season. That was the one where
I'm so mad at you right now.
I'm telling you, because one half of it was like this weird stuff where like there was like all of like this on wires, like weird martial arts stuff. But it was a CW budget.
But in the
90s,
the first three seasons of anything in the 90s was the only good stuff.
But But I mean, like, it got so ridiculous because they did that stuff. And then what else happened? That oh, and yeah, and then there were, like, some people turned into witches, like Kristen Kirk and Chloe and Lana became witches. And that was also the season where Jensen Ackles was there. Before he was on Supernatural, it was a
weird... Wait, it's the coach. And he was just the coach. They just kept showing up as the coach, not coaching anybody.
He showed up and he was like, hey, it's me. Except he didn't start doing the growling stuff yet. Anyway, that season was bad and the show was not good ever again. But
Superman is great.
But Tom Welling is great. Michael Rosenbaum was great. It's not that it was never the actor's fault, except for maybe the one. But
we learned about a bunch of different types of kryptonite. There's like, what... 13, 15.
There's a lot of kryptonite. Yeah. There's all kinds of kryptonite. Oh, what was the one you wanted to have? Was the 421?
Well, the 421, I like it for two reasons. One, it's called Super K, which would basically be my nickname. And the other reason is for 420, because Super K was a hallucinogen. So, yeah. That would be the kryptonite. But I'm going to get a shirt that says Super K. I am.
All right.
Like, because that's going to be my superhero. Alias.
I still prefer that scene from Superman 3, or that whole segment from Superman 3 with the red kryptonite.
Oh, yeah.
This is Superman 3 is not what I would not call it a good movie overall.
But tell everybody about the scene you're referring to.
Do you remember this?
Of course.
Yeah, where Superman, he gets exposed to red kryptonite, which is synthesized by the evil scientists of the movie, and it turns him bad. And you can tell because he stops shaving and gets a 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah.
And he's at a bar getting drunk.
Only evil people have beards.
Exactly. And he's at a bar getting like super drunk and flicking peanuts off the bar and like blowing things up because he's flicking the peanuts so hard. And then he's all like, oh, I don't feel good. I'm there. And he flies away to a junkyard and splits into two people, one of whom is Clark Kent and the other one is Superman, and they fight. And Superman's like,
this happened in Hulk when Hulk got separated from Banner.
Of course Superman's going to beat Clark Kent.
That's the best part of Superman 3. That is the best part of Superman 3.
And of course, it's one of the best sequences in any of the Superman movies. I will go to bat for that.
And then because
of what it says. And, you know, Superman, of course, is going to beat up Clark Kent because he's Superman and Clark Kent has enough powers. But Clark Kent wins! And then at the end, like, he's all beat up and he gets up and he's groggy and then he's like, opens his shirt and the Superman logo is there with the theme. It's so cool.
Yeah,
and like, listen,
it's great.
Again, Superman 3 is not what I would call a good film or even a good film overall, but that sequence in terms of like Superman stuff, and of course, amazing work by Christopher Reeve in both roles at that moment as Clark Kent and the evil Superman.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that movie, like, just off the beaten path real quick, the scene that I always remember...
I know what you're going to talk about.
Do you do? What is it?
I think so. Is it when the woman gets assimilated by the evil computer? Yes.
It freaked the hell out of me.
It is
creepy. You were telling me about this. It's a creepy, creepy scene.
I will never forget. Every once in a while, I'll think about it, and I'll look it up on YouTube, and I'll go, yes, I am years old, and this is still terrifying.
What is ostensibly a kid's movie, you know, the most kid movie Superman you'd had up to that point on the screen.
And it's also goofy, but for the most part, and like seeing it as a kid, it just really, it like kept me up nights.
Yeah.
That was creepy.
Anyway.
And then Brian Michael Bendis dropped his first Superman story in Action Comics 1000.
So now, they changed the backstory.
They changed the backstory?
They retconned some things about Krypton.
So Krypton, this is a thing.
I think that's called Kryptconning.
Oh, boy.
I'm on fire today.
Yeah, you're really late. Did you start 420 off right or
I guess
what?
So.
Yeah, you fell off the right side of the bed.
That was not a muffin you were eating, huh?
Yeah, wow. Yes, it was.
It was. It was that good muffin. So here is the gist, right? So you know how like Krypton blows up?
I do know
You ever hear about that?
I've heard that story.
Spoiler alert for the people watching Krypton
also,
on sci-fi
you know
right now.
Batman's parents got murdered.
What?
I know. It's weird. Anyway,
so it turns out there's a big buff alien dude that destroyed Krypton because he hates Kryptonians. And now he's on Earth and he's going to
his name is Rogel Zar.
Yeah, there's one too many A's in that last name. But yeah, like he's out there trying to finish off the job. He's going to get rid of Superman, Supergirl, and whoever else is. I don't know who else in the current continuity is still from Krypton, but he's on Earth to kill the rest of the Kryptonians. And that, I guess, is a big part of Brian Michael Bendis's conceit in his new Superman story.
And I think what everybody was saying, Man of Steel or whatever, is that it was a natural occurrence. And then I think even on Krypton, they're saying that part of the destruction might be about Brainiac. But yeah,
that's a story that's been done before where it turns out it's Brainiac. Yeah. That has happened in the past.
But this are basically saying that, it wasn't a natural disaster. It was this guy. And he looks like Thanos' ugly step cousin.
Yeah, I don't know about it.
DC,
sure.
So I should say Darkseid's ugly step-cousin. It doesn't look like they kicked him out the house.
kind of. They were just like, can you get some like work done? Or like, I don't know.
He actually looks like an orc. He looks like an orc.
Oh, he does kind of. Yeah. He's got a bit of an orc
the
vibe.
I can't wait to see the CGI version of that
of the
on
orc?
Screen somewhere.
You know what he looks like? Actually, what he looks like is two things. One, there's like a creepy monster lady in a movie called House that has that exact face. And also,
wait, the House starring William Catt?
Yes.
I love that movie. Richard Mall is in it, too.
Yeah, and Bull
from Night Court.
And George Wendt is in it, right?
That's right.
George Wendt is in the first one.
Oh,
and
my
then
God.
And
I haven't thought about House in forever. I'm sorry.
Man.
That's amazing.
I have them both on Blu-ray, just so you know.
House and House 2.
House and House 2.
The second
2.
Story.
Second story.
Yeah, it's so good. It's really good. Anyway, it looks like that, and also kind of looks like, do you remember in the first Pee-wee movie?
Yeah,
Big
Large
Adventure,
Marge.
Large Marge, when they do like the raw, looked like this, raw, like kind of looks like that.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, they should put Large Marge in the DC universe.
And
that's
Richard
Mall. And Richard Mall, for sure. Man, come to my place. We'll watch the House movies, dude, legit.
I have not seen House in a long, long time.
They are weird movies, which is exactly why your kid brain, like that, they're like.
Because it's a comedy, right? There's a comedy element to it as well.
Especially the second one.
It is a comedy, I'm almost positive.
It's just an imagination factory, those movies, because they're so bizarre and they play with such weird ideas that your kid brain just kind of keeps going after they're over. Anyway. So maybe some people like will look at that ugly face and get something off of it.
Yeah, if this panel of this comic leads people to explore the movie House starring William Catt, then
that's all that matters to me.
It will all have been for the best.
The only other thing, and I will, this is a bit of self-promotion here. I did do a video about Lois. Because Lois Lane has actually been around 80 years, just as long as Superman. And for some reason, they keep changing. They keep changing her character. She's been so many things. She's been, she's been Superwoman, obviously. But we all got upset because Superwoman 1, they kind of killed her off. Which is not a spoiler because it's been out for a couple years. She's been Red Tornado. She stole the Batmobile once. She was a Valkyrie. She actually, I'm sorry, a Valkyrie, listen to me. She was on Apocalypta. I always say that thing wrong, where the new gods come from.
Mm-hmm.
And was hanging out with some of the new gods. Granny Goodness
same
herself.
Same as the old gods.
Same as the old gods, yes. And she also, she died. She became a part of the Black Lanterns, and the Black Lantern Corps, for those of you who don't know, is the Revenant Corps. You know, her, the Green Lanterns. All the corps are different colors. They're different parts of the emotional spectrum. Apparently, death is now an emotion.
What's the Puce Corps?
Puce?
Yeah, what's the Puce Corps? What
color is Puce? Is that?
That's an organization that does, like, charity work in, third world countries.
But she's also a Blue Lantern. She's a Blue Lantern, and they would actually be the ones in third world countries because they heal. So she's...
No, because it's the...
What about the Chartreuse Corps?
There is a Chartreuse Corps. Don't tease.
Is there really?
It's not called Chartreuse, though. They're the Violet Lanterns. Yeah.
Oh. Wait, no, that's more like a... That's like, I don't know how to... Chartreuse is like the worst color in the world.
I always got a kick out of Lantern Corps because it just was like any emotion. They just came up with a different story. But the long and the short of it is...
What's the Sadness Corps? Is there a Sadness Corps?
Sadness Corps?
That would be funny. No, but you know what?
Oh,
there
man.
Is one ring. This is my thing. No. There's one ring and it's not a corps because it can only belong to one person. And it is the Lantern of Avarice. And because it's the orange lantern of avarice.
They really backed themselves into a corner because it should have been the green lantern of avarice.
No, it's the orange lantern of avarice.
But greed is green.
Who has it? Sinestro?
No. Different people have had it, but there's only one because they always fight everybody else off. So I have always called our current president the orange lantern of avarice.
Wow. All right. There you go.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Anyway,
a lot of stuff in this podcast.
Yeah, pulled out. But anyway, there's a whole bunch of things that we talked about on the Lois Lane.
And
it was fun.
That's one of my biggest gripes with the Man of Steel Justice League movies. I think they really underserve Lois Lane as
Absolutely.
A character.
Especially in the Justice League one. I was like, she's just going to look sad the entire time. Is nothing happening?
Yeah. What about Jimmy Olsen? How long has he been around? When did he first show up?
I feel like he showed up almost as long, not 80 years. I feel like
he's been around for a while. You know what I like about Jimmy Olsen?
Because Superboy came in before Jimmy. So yeah, I want to say that
does Superboy know how to like get the seamed stockings up right? Because I'll tell you, there are a lot of issues where Jimmy Olsen dresses in drag, and he is lovely. Yeah. That is one of my favorite things. Like, I don't like, that's why, you know, they always talk about like, oh, what can we do with this character? What can we do with this character? Like, things that either make sense or don't do it. Why'd you make this change? Whatever. They should make Jimmy Olsen trans. Come out and have that character go through transition, because it's there. It's right there in the continuity, folks.
Could be Jimmy Olsen.
Literally nobody could go in and be like, this doesn't make sense. I could pull out like 100 comics and
Wait,
be like,
say
try
be Jamie
again,
Olsen?
Friend.
Jamie Olsen.
Nailed it. Anyway.
That's probably happened
your old
at some
pal
point.
Danny has cracked the case again.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, man. I really, yep. Lois Lane. Boom. Lois Lane.
So that, I mean, there's been a bunch of stuff that we learned about Superman this week because it's just, well, I'm bummed because
it's ostensibly his 80th anniversary.
What I'm saying. I thought it really was his 80th, and somebody's like, actually, it's May. And I'm like,
it was me.
It's like, well, Jesus was born in August, but nobody cares about that. So,
I care a lot. As a mean-spirited atheist, I love bringing that up. Not really. Anyway, so that's Superman.
Yeah.
You know, just to sort of kill this conversation, who's going to die in Avengers?
Oh, please.
Everyone.
So this is my theory.
I don't think it's not real
Thanos
death.
Wants to kill.
It's not real death. I think they're literally going
to
turn Captain America. Either Hawkeye is becoming Ronin. And or Captain America is going to be I was about to say Patriot. It's not Patriot. It's the other character where
Nomad.
Nomad.
He's already. I think they're kind of set. That's the whole beardy thing. But
not
like,
just the bearded thing. His suit looks black. It's dirty, but it looks black.
Yeah.
So I mean, and the shield. I think he's going to be Nomad.
I think he's going to bite it.
I think they're going to fake his death.
Bite what?
They're going to stop. I think they're going to fake his death.
You mean like the clown?
No.
Oh boy. That's a different movie.
Like the IT department.
I think they're going to fake
his death.
Have you
tried turning it off and back on again?
So anyway, the reason we're talking about this, obviously, Avengers comes out next week.
Yeah, and I forgot to buy my tickets and now it's too late.
Oh my
I actually
God.
Don't know how I'm seeing
you're
it.
You're not going to see it until July.
The entire geek universe is centering on this one moment. It feels like it's got an immense gravity, and that's why there's a lot of small news this week and not like really big stories blowing out, because we're all waiting with bated breath for Infinity War to arrive.
Honestly, I think, I don't know who's going to die, but I think whoever's going to die is going to die at the beginning of the movie. And they're going to use that as the impetus to do all the things.
I think there's going to be multiple deaths.
I think Thanos is going to show up and kill one of the Avengers. And then that's going to be the rest of the movies, like avenging the death. But I've seen a couple fight scenes with the Black Order. I don't know if you guys seen any of that footage with Scarlett Johansson. I'm just calling their real names. Black Widow, Captain America, and who else was in there? Falcon, I think, fighting the Black Order. And they did a good job with that. They made them look really tall. I'm looking forward to the fight
killing
scenes.
Killing off half the characters at the beginning of the movie may be the only way to make it a coherent film.
Otherwise, everybody's going to have 10 seconds
exactly.
of screen time.
Yeah.
But if they blow up Wakanda, there will be riots in the streets.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, bye.
It's over.
I can't even believe you said that as a suggestion.
I mean, if you looked in the dictionary under too soon, that would be the picture that is right next to it.
Exactly. That would be a mess. But I here's the one thing. I will give the Russo brothers credit this time. They have an entire team of people making sure nobody, including the actors, is knowing what's going on with this film. I've never seen this. I've literally never seen. I think only Benedict Cumberbatch has seen or read the entire script.
Yeah.
That's why I think
recently.
He might bite it too.
I think we are getting very close to a point at which they will shoot multiple films all the way through And not tell anyone involved which one is actually, not even just scenes. Like, I know they already do that. They shoot multiple scenes to, like, mislead people. But I'm talking about, like, two full productions of films. Then they'll just
the thing is that y'all don't even...
You don't know. It's one or the other.
Or they're going to shoot... They did this a while ago, not in superhero movies, but I feel like there are some movies that used to do this in the early 2000s, where they would shoot the trailer. The trailer would not be things that was cut from the film. They did something like that sort of with Iron Man 3. It wasn't that they shot it for the trailer. They just used a lot of the extra clips for the trailer to make everybody seem that the battery was a little bit different than he actually was and things like that. But I can see that happening. Like, the second unit goes to shoot the trailer.
I mean, look, man, they already do stuff like this, though. I mean, they lied in Empire Strikes Back. They lied to everybody. Yeah. I think three people knew, and one of them was Mark Hamill, and the other was George Lucas, and the other, you know, it was like three people knew, and the line that they told everybody else was, Obi-Wan never told you. He killed your father. And that was what everybody assumed, and then they were in the theater at the premiere, and Harrison Ford leans over to Mark Hamill and goes, hey, you never told me about that kid. You know, like, like that whole concept, which is great. Stuff like that has kind of existed in some form or another for, you know, 30 plus years. I think that there will be examples of things like that in the future where they'll have to go to maybe somewhat greater lengths. But I think it's provisional, right?
Sure.
In a case like this, it's so extreme because they've been building this up for, what, a decade now?
Well, and that's the other interesting thing is that, I mean, the tracking on this movie is astronomical. And
it's
like,
so funny because I thought for sure it was going to disappoint, and now it's outsold in presale like all the rest of the Marvel movies combined.
Yeah, so we're at a place now where I would say Marvel and the MCU is a bigger, I mean, it's hard to say bigger, but at least in terms of box office, is a bigger draw than Star Wars.
Well, here's the
which
thing.
Which I never would have imagined.
Yeah, I never thought that would happen.
Here's the thing that I was thinking about, actually, because Black Panther is still technically in theaters.
Yeah.
And I think that we've talked about this before, that it'll probably get a little bit of a bump when Infinity War comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about $15 million off beating The Last Jedi in worldwide gross. So that's, absolutely. I think we're actually already there because... You know, I mean, despite the conflict and the hot takes about The Last Jedi, I mean, it still made a lot of money. You know, I don't know how often a Marvel movie is going to be able to topple a Star Wars movie, but it's going to be more often than it used to be.
Yeah.
And especially now, I think anything like Force Awakens was just an event. You know, that thing made crazy money because it was reestablishing the idea that, yes, you can still make a Star Wars movie with all of the moving pieces that are familiar, that is the same kind of plot. And that's why it made so much money.
Well, it was the return, right? It was like, we haven't done this in...
And we certainly haven't done it, but we haven't done it specifically in the way that very first Star Wars movie feels, right? It was the first time since the original trilogy that you watched a thing and said, this is absolutely unquestionably proof that you can still make a movie just like that one from 1977 and have people roll out and love it, and it still works. And so that's why it made so much goddamn money. But yeah, I don't think at this point there is any Star Wars movie that is going to be guaranteed to do better than any Marvel movie automatically.
I mean, I would say it's hard to say any Marvel movie. I mean, the Avengers movies in particular.
But I mean, like Black Panther. I know why Black Panther was successful. I'm not a fool, but still, like $1.3+ billion, really, like for a movie that's just about one character that was largely disconnected from the rest of the universe. It really was a standalone. We have no idea what's going to happen with Captain Marvel.
It depends.
Is that going to blow up too? Is that going to make a ton of money?
I mean, it depends on the character too, because I think like Ant-Man and the Wasp is going to come out later this year, and I think it's going to do well.
Fine.
But I don't think it's going to do these numbers.
It's going to threaten. It's not like that's, episode 9 is going to.
But here's the thing. Thor Ragnarok and Guardians 2 and all of those movies that you know are going to go and be fun are still making in like the 850.
I mean, Guardians 3.
Yeah, but Guardians 2 made, I think, like 850 and like,
really?
And Thor did about the same.
It did really well.
And Thor Ragnarok did very well. I think that basically at this point they're guaranteed to make like, if they make 750, that's like $0 in their book. So I think they all make at least 850 or so million. And that's like, that's like, we just did fine, guys.
I don't think Ant-Man and the Wasp will hit that mark.
I don't know.
I don't think
I genuinely have no idea. I feel like that particular brand just doesn't have the same oomph right. as anything else that they've got, but we'll see. I mean, the fact is we don't know. Sebastian Stan did say that there was a scene in Infinity War wherein he is sort of standing next to Michael Douglas and Michelle Pfeiffer. And so maybe they're going to do something really big to sort of pump that particular part of the universe up so that coming out of Avengers Infinity War, people are going to be really excited to see Ant-Man and the Wasp. In fact, now that I say that out loud, I'm 100% positive that they're going to do that because it's a company and they're not
the
stupid.
Whole point, yeah.
So they have to. So yeah, I mean, for sure, I think that it'll be interesting to see what they do with Infinity War to try and pump up that particular aspect of the Marvel Cinematic Universe brand yeah. in order to keep it in sort of concert with what the other movies are making.
I think it'd be funny if they killed Spider-Man. Hey, here's this new Spider-Man you all love, and he's dead.
Nope. I mean, he's not going to be in that Venom movie.
People will ride in the streets because they really want a homecoming, too. It's not going to... I really, really think it's going to be Doctor Strange.
It should be Spider-Man senior prom. We've already had homecoming.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
Wow.
Spider-Man enchantment under the sea.
Oh, well, they did say that there's... So the big rumor is that there's going to be all this time travel, right? Because...
In the movie.
Yeah.
Because of Doctor Strange.
Yeah, there is a time gem, and there is this idea that we're going to see a future character. We're going to see...
Doctor Strange, I thought, had the time gem.
Yeah, but we're going to see... It's Ant-Man's daughter. There's going to be a grown-up sequence with her. And so, yeah, there's going to be a time travel element, and therein lies a great way to sort of deal with death, because traveling in time, you could see a possible future.
Right.
Where this person dies, or these people die, or everybody dies, or nobody dies. So, like, I think there's going to be a fair amount of that for sure.
I was going to say it was really profound.
Or it's Vision. Yeah. They take the thing. We've seen them take the stone.
Well, Vision or Scarlet Witch.
But you've seen them take the stone out of his head.
But the clip they put out now, I think they kind of hinted at a way to around that, which is when they had Shuri.
Yeah,
I don't
Shuri
know if you
probably,
saw that clip
yeah.
where she basically owned Bruce Banner on the science, which was awesome. But she was like, why didn't you just jargon? And he's like, we didn't think of that. So my guess is, I think you're right. The gem does get ripped out, but the Shuri figures out some way the Vision can live without it.
That doesn't mean he won't still die. I mean, like, you know, I had a friend.
It really depends on Paul Bettany's tolerance for makeup.
That's true.
If he's decided he doesn't want to sit in that chair and become Vision for 7 hours or however long it takes to apply all that stuff, then he could be gone.
My friend believes that they pushed the Vision and Scarlet Witch romance very quickly, and they don't have to do that because, you know, they're doing just fine without having to hit every single beat from the books.
Yeah.
So why did they do that? If not to have like a very sad romantic ending where one of them bites it. So that's a possibility.
By the way, side note, I'm excited to see Bettany in Solo. He's the only other thing I'm excited about.
Oh, yeah. He looks pretty cool in that.
There's only two people that I'm kind of really excited about. One of them is, none of them are the actor playing Han Solo. Sorry.
Wow.
He just looks boring to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that was my take on it, too. It's like, I'm much more interested in everybody else. Not that, and I guess I didn't see him as boring, but it was like, everybody else seems really cool. Lando seems really cool. Thandi Newton is whoever seems
really cool.
Really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Now I'm thinking about Westworld Season 2, which debuts this weekend.
Oh, wait. And also, speaking of Star Wars,
shout
out to and congratulations to Victoria Mahoney, being the first African-American woman to direct a Star Wars film. So this next
she's on
Star
that
Wars
second unit, but it was cool to see a picture of her with JJ, and knowing that she's going to have that job and that they're going to be working together. And I think that it was very nice. It was very smart for them to have that picture of the two of them together. That makes it seem like they are a team
not
just JJ being like, do this, do that.
Yeah.
It's kind of I mean, like that is largely what the second does, is that they try to sort of keep the tone of what the other person is doing. But yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a nice piece of news. It's the kind of thing where you say, okay, we're again taking another like incremental step in the right direction. But there's been a lot of incremental often sounds like a bad thing, but like when there's like a bunch, like I feel like this year already there's been like about 100 incremental steps.
It's true.
Right.
So that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
And this is one of them. So that's pretty cool.
And it does add up, I think, over time. I mean, that's the hard part, is you kind of have to, it requires the luxury of time and the ability to look back and be like, oh, well, over
I think we're taking some leaps, although what do I know? But yeah, I mean, I think it's been a pretty good year in that so far. So yay.
It's been a better year.
It's been
years past. Put it that way. Good, bad, it's hard to say, but...
Good, bad, I'm the guy with the gun. Wait, I can't say that anymore.
I'm sorry, Black Panther came out this year. I can't. It's the best year ever.
Yeah, it is a pretty good year. Anyway, does anybody want to make any last outstanding claims about who's going to die in Avengers before we wrap this up?
I still think it's Doctor Strange.
Okay.
I think Tony, maybe. RDJ. He's tired.
He's very tired.
The hard part about that
is
that
he's tired. He's just old, guys. He's just old.
Yeah, but he doesn't like...
Once you get old, you'll be tired too.
He's tried.
I'm already there.
He's tried to launch a career outside of the Marvel movies, and it just hasn't really gained a lot of traction.
Well, those contracts. Every movie that he's had to produce himself.
Yeah.
Because those contracts are ironclad. They don't let. I think that's the other thing Chris Evans has been tired of. Like he might want to get killed off because he's like he had to literally get. I think RDJ had to help him get out of his contract and then shoot in Korea to do Snowpiercer.
Right.
Because they just won't let them out because they want these worlds to stay intact.
I think honestly, of the old guard, I do believe maybe Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. will be the ones to go. I think that Hemsworth will stick around, especially because Thor Ragnarok was just such a big hit.
Yeah.
I don't see it. And, you know.
Well, I will say that one scene when Captain America is fighting Thanos. I'm like, he would squash him like a bug. Why is this a thing?
Maybe that's only a thing.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll find out. Anyway, I do think.
Or
it's
a dream.
I think Captain America and Iron Man are both. Yeah, that's my guess. I think that they're going to both go out in a blaze of glory, and that's going to be sort of like they come back together to save the day. They both die like heroes.
Yeah.
And that'll be it. But we'll find out.
And they all end up at Hawkeye's house.
And of course, it being a comic book movie.
Oh, yeah, Hawkeye's going to die for sure.
Means nothing. Ultimately, 10 years down the line, we could have them show up as old man
bring back whoever you
want.
It'll
be a prequel. We'll go back to when they were kids and they first, like, they're going to be like the young, or they'll do a young Avengers kind of thing.
There you go.
I do hope that we get, although I don't know that we will in this, it might be the next Avengers movie, a Captain Marvel cameo of some sort.
We'll see.
That would kind of bring the house down, I think.
That would be pretty cool. We'll see. I just know that at this point they've said it's not this one. Anyway, let us know who you think is going to die, what you think, what your guesses are. You have a couple days to say it before we all know from Avengers Infinity War. What's your take on Superman after 80 years? Who's your favorite version? How do you feel about Lois Lane? What do you think about my Jimmy Olsen idea? It's pretty good, right? and what do you think about them trailers? Are you more excited about Jurassic World now? Or are you more or less excited about Deadpool? Can you get any more excited about that movie? It feels like people are pretty peak on it.
Yeah, it's peak Deadpool.
People feel pretty good about it for a reason. Please let us know. Please also make sure if you are listening to this podcast that you are subscribed to this podcast. I say it every week. Please leave a review. It actually means a lot to us. It really helps us do better, and it helps make sure that more people are aware of the podcast. So please do that if you would. And please also check out the other podcasts that we have on our lovely little sci-fi network, Strong Female Characters, The Fandom Files. The Churn is back.
The Churn
is back for the,
you like the Expanse.
For the third season of The Expanse. And please listen to all of those. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Where can people find each of you, my friends, online so that they can find out more important things about your lives?
You can find me, the Blurred Girl, THEBLERDGURL, basically all over social, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Fish.
Yeah.
Fish tank.
No fish tank. Yeah. Snapchat. I basically get mail on Twitter, so hey.
You can write me a letter on paper. And no, I'm not going to tell you my address. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at RockTheFaces.
And my name is Danny Roth, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Danny Ordinary. That is Danny with one N, Ordinary also with one N. This has been Who Won the Week. Thank you for winning our week, and we'll see you again next week.